Hello and welcome to ArtBS, Business Solutions. This is a podcast for artists that provide business solutions. We discuss all aspects of being an artist, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal for each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity. I'm Rachel.
Stephanie Weaver.
Jules McCullough.
There are no rules for good photographs. There are only good photographs. Ansel Adams. In this episode, we're going to discuss where do you get your photos or your imagery or your inspiration. So, where do you guys get your pictures from? Since it's kind of a tag along to the copywriting, you can't just paint anything, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you got to have the rights to it. So, like, some of the places that I get my web my images from are really Pixabay, Unsplash. There's a Facebook group called Photos for Artists, but then there's also you just paint stuff that's kind of in your head, and then you find images that kind of look like that. That's why they're called references, and then you refer to them, but at some point you kind of deviate from what they are. They just kind of give you the idea of it. And all of that comes from my own photography, which I am not like a professional photographer by any means.
But I get you paint it. It's your own image that you're using.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll set up like still lifes and take pictures of all that. So that's mine. And my brother will send me images. You know, family, they like to give me stuff to paint. Yeah.
And Julie, I know you're a professional photographer. Shout out. So I suspect you use a lot of your own.
Yeah, imagery. I do use a lot of my own. And I try to take a ton of pictures when I am traveling. It's like picture overload, even with my family. But it's not of kids. It's of flowers and trees and landscapes and buildings and cool textures on the ground and
the ocean.
Lots of the ocean, lots of waves. I will sit and photograph waves for hours. But, and then I also look at Unsplash, but mainly Pixabay. Yeah. They seem to have a wider variety of what I'm looking for or want to paint.
And then we change it up quite a bit from the actual image.
Definitely.
Yes. And I will also combine images. I may find a stock image and combine it with something I've taken and then add in additional elements. Like I have a composite piece I did that a stock image of a forest, picture of my daughter, pictures of ladybugs and butterflies and flowers and greenery, just tall greenery that I've embedded into that image to create the final piece. So even though that one technically could be sold, it was for a family member. So it's not one that I was selling, but I still used a variety of sources to create it.
Now, neither one of you guys mentioned Adobe Stock. And why is that?
The big stock companies, if you really dig into their rules, in my opinion, and I'm not a lawyer, but in my opinion, based on what I read, you can't just go and paint what you see on one of their stock images, even if you bought the usage of it. Typically, the usage is for one or less. There's, and I don't have it in front of me, but there's restrictions on how many copies can be made of it. Mm-hmm. There's restrictions on how it can be used. And there's different licensing levels. But with the standard license, I'm personally am not comfortable just straight out using an image I found on there. Now, I may license an image and use a little piece of it, or the ideas for the colors may come from a stock image that I've licensed. But I will not, at least I try. Hopefully I haven't, I say that, but I'm like, have I? But I try really hard to make sure I'm not pulling their stock images for that kind of stuff. You know, it's as simple as from a graphic design standpoint, people think, oh, well, they have these logo templates on it. I'm going to use this logo. And that's fine for the small company, but you can't trademark that. You can't
No, you really can't even use it. You're really not supposed to use it as a logo.
Right. So if I pull something off of there to use as logo, it's for inspiration. I use an element of it. It's like our logo for RBS. I got the inspiration. I licensed some templates from there, but it grew out of that to mine. And I don't even know if I can tell you which one I licensed for it at this point.
Right.
But it's like, okay, here's the concept that I'm kind of going for. Now let me use this.
Right. And you use kind of.
Right.
Our colors that we like. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. And it's like I just use the lavender flowers, an outline of lavender flowers from Adobe Stock for a website we're working on. But I used them for reference. And then I went and I kind of.
You hand drew them.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Now that I've looked into, because I paint from pictures a lot. And I was working on a series of paintings and it was all about kids and just kind of interacting and everything like that. And I did find a picture that I really, really, really liked on, I think it was Shutterstock. Mm-hmm. And of course you got to purchase. And of course, based on their rules, you can't reproduce, right. You know, the artwork. And I was like, okay, the only way to actually be able to do that is you have to contact the photographer directly, pay their fee. They then pull the copyright material down and then you own the copyright. So that was a process that you have to go through in order to own the image from that point forward.
Right.
These other sites like Pixabay, what is it, the other ones?
Unsplash.
Pixabay, Unsplash, Photos for Artists, they are giving the rights away for artists to paint or create from. So that was really helpful. When I was listening to Julie about your vacations and stuff, I do the same thing. Like, I've got so many pictures of like bugs in a flower and, you know, and all these little things. And I thought, okay, there needs to be a t-shirt. It's like, you know, you're an artist when you have more pictures of other things than you do of your family.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because I've got literally like thousands of images that I'm like, oh, I want to paint that. I want to paint that. I want to paint that. And then I get stuck sometimes and I still don't, I don't even think to go back and look at my old pictures.
I don't either. In fact, I was looking for a picture unrelated to any sort of art in my iCloud yesterday. And I'm like 50,000 pictures later.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, like, oh, there's the one I was looking for after every flower and granule of sand and texture imaginable. I found what I was looking for.
Hey, there's an idea. Maybe we all ought to pool all of our images together.
And we could be our own resources.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, I got like a ton of wildflowers from the back and, you know, pictures of hay.
Hey.
Pictures of, you know, you're like close up, back up, you know.
Yeah.
Well, another thing that people don't realize too, even if you are taking your own pictures, you know, some architectural sites and buildings, you can't just take a picture. Oh, that's a cool barn. Let me photograph it and paint it if you don't own that barn.
You know? Really?
So some architectural locations, you have to ask permission to utilize them.
Well, that's the same. That's the way it is here at Low Mill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Low Mill. I know they were they're trying to protect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to apply and get permission to take pictures.
And they got to protect the artwork and the artists that's within it. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but just from a building standpoint, you know, I don't recall what all the rules are because it's been several years since I had to address any of that, but
I'm sure like in like New York City, there are,
there's are buildings that you really, right.
You, can't you just, couldn't reproduce.
Yeah. You can't just, you know, the Sears Tower, which is no longer the Sears Tower, but it will always be the Sears Tower to me. I don't think you can just go photograph it and sell it, you know, photograph it and paint it. There's certain rules for certain buildings out there.
Wow. Okay. We need to link to an article about that because I know I need to educate myself on that.
I need to educate myself on that too since I'm going to Paris and would like to, you know.
You just had to throw that in
there. Throw that in there.
Ding, 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 ding.
I am.
Everybody take a turn to Paris. I'm just kidding.
Whatever. You know.
So, they don't know this yet. They yeah,
so tell them what you're doing. Yeah. Tell them what you're doing.
So I'm going to Paris, or well, really France for 2 weeks. And I'm spending a week in Paris. And then I'm going to retreat for a week with two other artists, Elliot Logan. I always get it reversed. Sorry. I think it's Logan Elliot. And Kat Collette. Hopefully I pronounced her last name correctly. For a week to, it's an artpreneur retreat, and it's just to grow and learn, and some watercolor classes, see some chateaus and some landscape in south of France. And I've never been to that part of the world, so I'm overly excited.
I'm like pretty much jealous at this point. This is really good. I think you're gonna have a fabulous time though.
I can't wait. I really am excited.
That's going to be awesome. And we're all going to like live vicariously through you, because you are going to be posting this on Instagram, right?
Yes, I've been told I have to be posting.
And your
yes.
Instagram handle is?
Julie M Studios. Very easy to remember.
Okay. Julie M Studios. Check it out. And you should see the way she has packed her stuff, because she has to take her brushes and her paints and everything. And she has like this, I mean, it's like super packed. You're going to have to do just a video on that.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's what my daughter Lauren keeps saying. Mom, you've packed this thing three times now in three different ways. I think you need to do a video of the final way that you actually travel with.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, like, you have everything in there, and it's in like a lunchbox.
She's even been Pinteresting. She's been going on Pinterest boards of finding ways to pack, YouTube videos on ways to pack.
I know, but you've gotten some really good ideas.
I've gotten some great ideas. And also, I've been doing watching YouTube videos. Like this weekend, my husband and I were watching one at lunch on 10 shocking things about Paris. And, you know, just all these interesting travel bloggers or vloggers that, you know, talk about their travels to certain areas of the world and different tips that they have. And it's been great listening to all this stuff to find out what to expect and what to. And so we went and watched one of his. I'll have to look at my history and put it in the show notes. But we watched one of them on Cancun, since we've been to Cancun twice, and everything was spot on that he talked about.
Cool.
Even the ATM fees of $40+.
Oh, wow. What?
Yes.
No way.
Yes. God. Do not go to an ATM in Mexico. Like, if you're in, yeah, big tip. No, no. But in France, wow, he says it's fine. You just have your bank fee and that's it. So anyways, yeah. I mean, all sorts of crazy, wild things. And we were just surprised how spot on he was with the Cancun ones that were. We're hopeful that he's pretty spot on with these Paris ones.
Yeah, well, I think you are going to need to do like a before and after blog, for write it up. But you really do have to. The pictures are amazing. Well, I mean, the way you packed, and if you would just take the pictures and some of your tips that you've learned, because we were talking about that in the car at one point, and I'm like, oh, what a good idea. Oh, what a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good idea. And I'm like, things that should be like, duh.
Yeah.
But you don't think about it.
Right. You just don't think about them. And then you hear them, you're like, why didn't I think to bring a bungee cord and some clothespins to hang dry my clothes? Like, that was brilliant.
I thought that was a good idea.
Well, and another thing too, we were going through this weekend because, of course, my husband wasn't happy because I bought three different types of electrical plugs, you know, because the European plugs are different than the US. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did, because only one of the three that I bought can you even use with my hairdryer.
Huh. Mm.
Because it's all this, you know, engineering brain, volts and wattages and amps and this, you know, W's and V's and A's and yeah, whatever. I'll just go plug it in and see, but I didn't want to blow up my computer. So I had him check everything since.
Yeah.
He's basically an electrical engineer, so.
Well, let me ask you this. When you're doing a painting or.
She's reeling us back in, okay?
Yes. So I'm just looking like, because this right in our studio, some pictures of cows. And I know like they took a picture of this. Like that's their picture as a reference. But if she was to post that on our social media, I mean, how do you, like, if you're using something from Pixabay or something, do you note that when you say, like, before and after, like, you're saying, hey, pick, you know, in progress, work in progress?
You don't have to, but I do, and I even take screenshots of the Pixabay image, because what I found it showing that I captured it from Pixabay with a date time stamp, because I found that there are some people that will take somebody else's artwork, photographs, and put it onto these free things, or these people will take the free ones and then try and sell them on Amazon. Because, yeah, I saw that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I contacted the original photographer because, like, hey, is this yours over here? Because I painted it, but now I'm seeing it on Amazon. Did somebody take your artwork and put it on Amazon? Because I don't want to get in trouble. And so, yeah, you got to really kind of CYA.
Yeah, I know. Since you guys had some copyright issues, I have, and I need to get better about it, it needs to become a habit. I've created a OneNote. And I've created a folder called reference photos, but I haven't been taking a picture of my actual download and all that.
Yeah, just a screenshot.
Yeah, I need to start doing that and just putting that into the OneNote so I know. Because, like, I have a whole stack of reference photos I printed out to take on the plane with me.
Yeah.
To practice some urban sketching type stuff. And yeah, I guess I need to go back and know where I got those on Pixabay or Unsplash.
Yeah, it definitely helps, because I know you and I, so there's two things that kind of go along with referencing images. I know one is making sure that you document everything and where you got it. And even if it's your own, you're still going to have to prove it at some point. I know Julie got contact.
You have your own digital stamp, you know, from your phone or your camera. Yeah,
but you got to have some sort of organization to be able to find them.
Right, and that's my problem. That's, yeah. I am hyper-organized, but that's a negative thing as much as a positive thing, because then I archive and I can't find.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to use OneNote to keep all my reference stuff in, because I can put all my screenshots right in there. Well,
that's a good idea. But yeah, to have it somehow in a folder somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I know Julie, she was contacted by somebody accusing her of using a image that it was a hummingbird. I'm sorry, if you live in the South, all the hummingbirds pretty much look the same. Yeah, there's a male and a female, and you can take pictures of them. We've got like three or five of them. I don't know. They move too fast and they're all buzzing around. And you get like good pictures of them.
Yeah.
And even I'm good enough to take a picture of a good hummingbird, but you have to be able to show, because, you know, she was falsely accused and she was able to prove that nope, here it is. And even recently, just kind of go on to that. So there are scammers out there. Have you guys been scammed yet?
Well, I was going to say, how do you even know that that was her picture
that she sent? Well, right. The thing about it too,
it would have been someone else.
You have the same hummingbird.
Yeah. Well, my hummingbird is a little bit different than yours, but slightly. I got mine from Pixabay.
Right, but from a quick glance.
Yeah, they look the same.
They're exactly the same.
I know.
So
it was like,
I mean, a hummingbird can only look a certain way.
I know. It's just, you know, they're flying. They hardly ever sit still. And if they do sit still, it's not as cool.
Right, it's not.
You want the wings moving.
Yep.
Right.
It's kind of like the whole point.
But yeah.
But anyway, so I got contacted. So on my website, I am a DMCA agent, or maybe it's DCMA. I forget which way it goes. Do you remember? Digital Media Copyright Agent. So basically what it means is you apply, you pay $7 to be a DCMA agent on your website. And basically what that does is says that if anybody in my community posts an image that does not belong to them, I am the DCMA agent that they contact to tell me to remove their image.
Gotcha.
So that they're in copyright infringement. So anyway, what I didn't know is that there are scammers just on that alone. This past week, this past week I got an email from somebody saying, and they went through my website, the contact form on my website, and I read it, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, DMCA agent, take down the image. And so they attached, said attached is the image that I need you to pull down. I'm like, okay, cool. So I went to the link and I'm like, I don't really trust this link. It was a download. It wasn't an image. And so, you know, I downloaded it, but it was a zip file and I was able to see within the zip file was a JS, a JavaScript. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me right now? So you got all these scammers. We need to do a podcast on just scamming alone because I get it all the time on Etsy.
Oh, my gosh.
People text. Wanting to buy like text.
Yes. Like William everything. That texted, you know, from two different numbers.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Asking the same exact thing just, for the same exact company.
Oh, my
company.
Gosh. It's I'm going to
add
insane.
It to our list. I'm going to add it to our list. Scammers.
Scammers.
So start saving your emails. And like the we'll scam emails. Oh my gosh. And we'll just create like a file.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be hilarious. Scammers. So I know like we had done a thing on goals and setting goals and how we work through that. And I know part of that was doing a mood board or a goal setting board or however you wanted to describe it. So you were finding some interesting information about that as well. And you had, like, we were all, you were talking to your lawyer, Stephanie.
Kiffany.
Kiffany is her name. But, I mean, you had talked to her.
Oh, Stephanie. Yeah, hi.
And you had talked to her about some copywriting issues. And then it went back to, we were like, well, what do you do if you just put a picture up on, like, your mood board?
Yeah.
So that was an interesting
We always want to like say, well, this is kind of where our inspiration was. And Julie does that a lot.
Yeah, I do, you know, mood boards a lot for, because I think in sense of projects. And so a lot of times before I move forward with a collection of whatever it might be, I'll do a mood board. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking from all our discussions about copyright and then me getting that email about my hummingbird and all these different things. I was like, I wonder if I can or cannot post my mood board inspiration. Because one thing I love to see from artists is I love to see where they start and how they work through a painting or a project or whatever it might be. And so I like to share that too when I do it. And they're small. Like, I mean, you can't see. You know, a mood board for me is usually 11 by 17, and I may have 20 pictures on there. Like, you're talking thumbnail size, so it's not like you can see a lot of detail from this and pinpoint, oh, that's my picture. Maybe you can if you have a magnifying glass. But anyways, I didn't want to be within copyright infringement for doing such a thing, so I asked Stephanie about it. She's like, I don't know. Let me ask. Da, da, da. And she went and asked. And we got some, you know, not yes or no back, but some really good questions to ask yourself when you're wanting to post something online, even if it's for your portfolio. So a lot of classes I've taken say you can use these images as portfolio images. Just state the class that you took it, you know, did it in. And you can put it on your website or, you know, in your portfolio, whatever it might be. But the conversation led us to a set of YouTube guys, and I don't remember the name of their YouTube channel. We'll put it in the show notes. But YouTube creators is what it was aimed towards, and fair use of things. Because, you know, on YouTube, they use a lot of imagery in videos to show what a place might be or how to do something that might not be theirs. Or they may, you see it a lot in movies, satire type things where they're making fun of, you know, Bill Clinton or making fun of our previous president or our current president. And, you know, do you have the right to do that or not? And is that considered, is this news clip considered free use or is it not? And how much are they changing? Anyways, it was very interesting to watch. But three questions that they suggested that you ask yourself is what you are using illustrating a point? So to me, the mood board is illustrating a point. It's just illustrating the point of where I started a project, how I got my inspiration together in clear. The next question is this point clear to an average person?
So a mood board is clearly a mood board.
Right. I think majority of the population now knows what a mood board is, thanks to Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have been doing mood boards, and this is really going to date me, since the days of cutting them out of newspapers and magazines and putting them into a black sketchbook. Because with our design degree process, we had to do mood boards all the time. And then the third one was, did you use only the amount that was reasonable to make your point? Mm-hmm. So
did you use all their photographs? No. Did you use one?
Yes.
That proved a point.
So like a segment, like I'm looking at the nose. Look at the nose.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I usually make notes on my mood board of what it is that I like about certain images. So I know why I put it on there, because I'm notorious for starting projects and not picking them up again for 9 months later. And I may not remember, why did I like this picture 9 months ago? Oh, that's what I pulled out. So I try to make notes next to every single picture of what it is that I liked. And that's a key thing, I think, in a mood board for people to understand when you're creating art. Like you said, oh, I like this nose. Oh, I like the center of that flower. And I like the way that the butterfly's landing on the branch or whatever it might be. So to me, those three questions, I think, are fair use that I can post my mood board. At least that's how I interpreted it. Not saying it's right or wrong, because nowhere did we really get a yes or a no definite answer, but it is a very gray area. And I think you just have to ask yourself, you know, what am I using and am I copying something?
Yeah. Or are you creating something new with a new idea or concept based on referencing that image?
Exactly. And I think that's the key for artists to know, is you're supposed to be referencing it, not copying it verbatim.
If people wanted a copy, they would go get a photograph. They want your originality.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's good, like, to note that putting it on a mood board is fine if you're not publishing it on any kind of social media or on your website or on a blog.
Well, I mean, I'm publishing it on social media, but...
Right, but you... Correct. But I mean, like, even so, if you wanted to, if you're not doing any of that, I feel like it's okay to pull off something as a reference, right, even though you're not using it. And I'll probably... Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Well, if you... I mean, I thought... I'm sorry, Stephanie. No, the thought that just stopped in my head when you said something, Rachel, was I could just as easily take those images and put them into a, because of course my mood boards are digital now, I could put them into a Pinterest board. Mm-hmm. It's not any different than that.
Exactly.
Well, the way that the Pinterest board works, and this is what the point I was going to make too, is one of the things that you can kind of do is a little bit extra, because yes, you can use segments and kind of show all that. But if you want to go a little bit extra and help another artist out, if you're thinking about this, is to, you know, pin it on Pinterest and use your Pinterest as a, here's my mood board for this particular painting, because you can niche it down that much in Pinterest. And then that way you're also giving that artist or the creator of that original imagery, you know, credit and those additional pins so other people can kind of go back. That's one of the nice things. And then the other thing that you could do is, you know, contact them. This kind of gets a little iffy back and forth in my head about, because like if I contact them, say, hey, is it okay if I used your image and I show, or not, I shouldn't say used your image, but if I showed your image as my inspiration for this piece. Mm-hmm. And then if they come back no, and you're like, well, okay, crap. Because then probably what I would do is then go find somebody else and give somebody else credit.
Right.
You know,
and if I was using a single image, then yes, I kind of get that.
Yeah. But you're using like 20.
Right. I'm just putting stuff on there from color to a specific flower to maybe a pattern I like. I mean, there's just so many different things I'm putting on that board.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I want to link to your mood boards. Can we link to one of your mood boards or something in Instagram that you've done?
Yeah, I have an Instagram.
So we can inspire others.
Yeah, I have a mood board on Instagram that I recently posted that prompted this whole conversation.
Okay. That's a great idea. Okay, so while we're wrapping up, because we've just got about a minute left here, let's talk about our current projects, because we had someone had mentioned that they were interested in what we were doing. So we'll start with Stephanie.
Okay. So what am I working on? I am working on, so me being the nerd, and you guys have probably already listened to the podcast about overthinking. If you haven't, go back and listen to the episode about overthinking, because then you're going to like go, what in the world is she doing? So I have come up with a new formula that you should be using to price your artwork. And I explain why the old formulas are not working and actually benefiting artists. They're actually hindering artists. They're great for galleries, but not for us independent artists that are selling online. So that's what I'm working on. And I think I'm going to make it free. I'm going to make it available for artists to use. So they're going to find it on, I bought the domain. 1 second, let me think of it.
Artpricingcalculator.com.
Thank you. Artpricingcalculator.com. You're going to find this new formula there with all the logic that makes sense. So you have a firm foundation on how to price your artwork. There's no guessing. There's no feeling. There's no like, oh, well, I live in Atlanta versus I live in a one-stoplight town. It doesn't matter because we are internet-based. So this is the new formula.
Awesome.
Artpricingcalculator.com, baby.
Awesome. What are you working on besides going to Paris over there?
Working on getting ready to go to Paris.
Whatever again.
I am working on my new Etsy page, peacockblueart.etsy.com. You can also get to it by just going to juliamstudios.com, go to shop, and you'll get a 10% off coupon. But I'm working on putting stuff up on there. Awesome. Slowly but surely, but it's looking really good right now. Gorgeous. I'm just putting stuff that's in the studio. Eventually there'll be prints for sale and probably some products, but it's a slow work in progress, but go check it out.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm actually working on, what did we call it? Pop peppers.
Pop peppers. I love the pop peppers.
Oh, yes.
Got pepper like paintings. A green pepper. I'm going to do jalapeno, habanero, just do some different peppers.
So soon to be available on her Etsy shop, right?
Yes, I'm working on going through the Etsy book camp.
What did you name your shop?
I haven't yet.
BB Studio.
BB Studio. BB Studios.
BB Studios, plural or singular?
BB Studio.
BB Studio. I'm looking over here at Julie. She's my helper.
We will link to all the Etsy Etsy stuff.
I haven't set it up yet. So if it's not there yet, when you're listening to this, it will be.
Yes. And
maybe. Or you can just contact me directly through my website.
All right. Etsy links. I'm making notes on.
Awesome. Notes. So we do have show notes on each of these, which is our resource materials. And because it's not just necessarily show notes, we try to really give you guys materials that you can use in your art business.
Yep. And there's going to be a link also to 17 resources that you can use to get, was it free? Okay. 17 royalty-free image resources for artists. There's going to be that on there. So
we'll link that article to on there as well. So we're going to have a lot of information for you guys to check it out.
Love you guys.